Well, if you're still a little drowsy from losing an hour of sleep, that first of that video, that'll wake you up on it, man, I tell you. Robert Redford was in the music industry, film industry, as an actor and director for about 60 years, and he passed away 6 months ago at the age of 89. A number of years ago, he was in a hotel lobby getting on the elevator, and there was a woman and her family recognized him. They thought they did. And so they're looking, and she says, "Is that Robert Redford? I think that's Robert Redford." So she walked up to him, and she said, "Excuse me, are you the real Robert Redford?" And he said, "Only when I'm alone." Yeah. Only when I'm alone. You know, I guess who we really are is when we're alone, isn't it? Only God knows, and only we know who we really are. I mean, we can put on a lot of airs and give an image and impression, but only God really knows who we are deep inside. But every now and then, who we really are deep inside comes out publicly. For good or for bad, but sometimes it does come out. And that was happening in today's passage in the book of Acts. One person's generosity came out, and another couple's hypocrisy came out. So read with me, starting chapter 4, verse 32 of the book of Acts. "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but that they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and with his wife's knowledge kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You've not lied to man, but to God.' When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter said to her, 'Tell me whether you sold the land for so much.' And she said, 'Yes, for so much.' But Peter said to her, 'How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they'll carry you out.' And immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things." Well, this is going to be interesting, isn't it? We're going through a sermon series entitled A New Day. It's through the book of Acts, verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And it's really been interesting so far. The church was born at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And the members of the church, we call it the early church, we call it the first church. But they were the very first believers in Jesus as they all gathered, and about 5,000 of them by now, they loved learning about the faith. They didn't have a building like we do, so they met in homes, and they held all things in common. Fellowship was amazing. They were a great church of prayer. God was blessing them tremendously. But let me take a time out for a moment. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, and I'll talk more about it next Sunday, but let me just kind of put a hook out there for you to think about. Chapters 3 through 6 and a part of 7 are what we call a tale of two temples. There's one temple that was the temple of the Jews. Solomon built it and Herod came along and man, I mean, he refurbished it and it was gorgeous, gold and silver and shiny and beautiful temple of God's house. But the only problem was inside of it, the religious leaders and the people were hollow. No righteousness, hypocrisy, and not doing what God wanted the church to do, the temple to do. On the other hand, you now have 5,000 people meeting in homes as the very first church, not a big, beautiful temple, not gold everywhere, not shiny and gorgeous, but they're doing on the inside what God always wanted the temple to do but wasn't. So get that picture. Two temples. One, beautiful and gorgeous, but on the inside, hypocritical and unrighteousness. And over here, not beautiful, but the first church, but on the inside, beautiful to the glory of God. So keep that in mind, especially next week. But the devil came along and tried to sabotage the work of God in this new church and all these homes. First of all, he tried it by pressure from the outside. Peter and John preaching at the temple that raised the lame man. And as they're preaching, they're arrested by the authorities, the religious leaders. And they commanded them at the trial, never preach or teach in the name of Jesus ever again. Never say that name again. Pressure from the outside. And last Sunday we saw they gathered, they prayed, they said, Lord, listen to their threats, but give us boldness to preach the name of Jesus. We're never going to stop. So the pressure from the outside didn't work. So the devil now tries pressure from the inside, not through force, but through falsehood. So let's see the story. Story of generosity and a story of hypocrisy. First of all, number one on your outline, let's look at generosity. Chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. Listen to what verse 32 says. Now, the multitude of those who believed were one heart and one soul. So all 5,000 believers had one passion. It was Jesus. They were all together. They were all unified. They all had one soul. You can't get 5,000 people to agree on anything. And all of them had one heart and one soul. And Luke tells us nobody said that any of their possessions were their own. They held all things in common. Same thing was said in chapter 2, verse 42. Now, apparently, the economy in Jerusalem was not good. Jobs were hard to find. And those 5,000 believers were made up, not of middle class, but mostly of the poor. In fact, as you go through church history, most of Christianity reached the poor. And so they were very poor, and they had sprinkled within there some wealthy people. In that 5,000. Now, let me say something very briefly. I don't want to talk a long time about it because you're probably thinking it. This was not socialism. Amen. It was not communism. It was not Marxism. It was voluntarism. Amen. It's a difference. You see, socialism says what yours is mine, I'm going to take it. Voluntarism says, what's mine is not really mine. I'm going to give it. So the key word, was voluntary. Why were they so generous? Because God had changed their heart through Jesus. Folks, I've noticed something through the years. Whenever God deeply touches your heart, He changes your generosity. You notice that? Well, I know whenever God touched my heart at the age of 19 and I surrendered everything to the Lord, my finances changed and my attitude toward my finances changed. This morning, if you're still kind of stingy and not really want to give to the Lord and you find yourself, ask yourself if God has really touched you deeply. Because every time He does, you see people all through Scripture being generous. God had touched them. So verse 33 tells us, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what they were saying was, what they were preaching wasn't money, wasn't even the cross, it's the resurrection. And that was the central theme of their message, the powerful resurrection, the crowning work of God's redemption. But look at verses 34 and 35. And it said that none among them lacked anything. Anybody who possessed land sold it, came and brought the money at the disciples' feet, laid it there, and then the disciples distributed to everybody as they had need. Not as there was a want, but as there were true needs. There was a radical new attitude toward possessions, sacrifice, and true need. Now, John Stott says something here that I find interesting. Stott said that you need to avoid the extremes of what was going on. One extreme says, that's ridiculous. You can't operate that way today. That's one extreme. The other extreme, he said, was the extreme of this should be the pattern for every single church. It shouldn't. We're never commanded to do this. We're just told what they did. So we're never commanded to do what they did. We're just told that. So avoid the extremes of both of this as you read this passage. But as John Calvin said, you must have a heart harder than iron to read this, though not be moved at what they did. True generosity. Now, the writer of Acts, which is Luke, he gives us Exhibit A. Let me tell you about a man who was really, really generous. His name was Joseph. He was a Jew. He was from Jerusalem probably originally, moved to Cyprus, got kind of wealthy, had some land, had some houses there in Cyprus, and he was back for Pentecost whenever he heard Peter preach, and he gave his life to Jesus. God touched him and changed him, and he lived there in Jerusalem now with his sister, most likely, who, by the way, was the mother of Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark. So Joseph was very generous. Here's what he did. He went back to Cyprus, most likely, and sold the land that he had there, brought the money, and laid the money at the disciples' feet and said, here's the money for anybody who has need out there. Here's the money that I sold the land for. Use it as people have need. And everybody went, oh, Barnabas, thank you. Your name's now Barnabas. We're going to nickname you Barnabas. Because Barnabas means son of encouragement. You were so encouraging to our congregation by bringing this and laying it here. And everybody praised Barnabas because he was so generous. But now the devil begins to work his way into the church. The snake has entered the garden. Go to number 2, hypocrisy. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Luke writes, but now a certain man by the name of Ananias, whose name means Yahweh is gracious, and his wife Sapphira, whose name means beautiful. And neither one was that. They went together and they conspired together and they're thinking, you know, we want that praise Barnabas is getting. Everybody's making over Barnabas, gave him a new nickname. Oh, wish they would do that for us. They got jealous. So they went and sold their possessions. They sold the land like Barnabas. And they took the proceeds and they went to lay them at the feet of the disciples, but they kept a little back for themselves because they were still selfish. They laid it at their feet and everybody praised Ananias and Sapphira. You see, it appears they wanted the attention Barnabas got. They wanted similar praise. It really wasn't about money. It was about appearing to be godly and appearing to be generous and appearing to be wealthy. And you know, folks, we still have that in churches today. We still have those that like to come and be present and everybody see them and think, wow, that is a godly man or a godly woman. And boy, that young person, they've got it together. The truth is, you really don't. You don't read your Bible. You don't pray that much. You don't give that much, if any at all. But everybody says, oh, you're such a godly person. Be careful. What I find interesting as Luke is writing about the early church was he's telling us it wasn't perfect. I know sometimes we idolize that first church, and I've had people say, Pastor, we need to go back like that early church and do it like they did. Hey, we're a godly church. Well, they had problems. And the devil was at work there too. And here's what I find interesting. Luke called this couple out by name. He didn't write, now Barnabas gave all the money, but there was this other couple. I won't call their names, but there was a couple in the church. He called their names, Ananias and Sapphira. How would you like for your sins to be printed in God's Word, eternal Word, for every generation to read? Be something? Peter called him out. Ananias, come here. What is it, Peter? Why has Satan entered your heart to deceive you? How'd Peter know? God must have revealed it to him. And now for the first time in the book of Acts, we have the name Satan. Never mentioned before. In fact, never mentioned again till chapter 26, till the book's almost over. Only mentioned twice. Why has Satan entered your heart? Remember earlier, they were of one heart, one soul. You see, Peter recognized it when Satan was at work in the life of a person. How did he know? I might remember when Satan used him. You remember that? Jesus was telling his disciples, if you go back a few chapters in the Gospels, telling the disciples about he has to go die and go to the cross, and Peter stepped up, oh no, Jesus, you don't have to go die. You're speaking out of your head. You're not going to die. Messiahs don't die. And Jesus looked at Peter in the face and said, get behind me, Satan. You're not tending to the things of God. Peter was being used by Satan. And now Peter comes along and says, Ananias, why are you letting Satan use you? He's entered your heart. you kept back some of the money and you didn't give it all. Like you said you did. The word kept back, two words in English, it's only one word in Greek. It literally means to embezzle funds or misappropriate funds. Outwardly, Barnabas, Ananias, and Sapphira all looked identical. They had land, they sold it, they brought money for the common good, but inwardly, the devil was at work in two of the three. Peter said, Ananias, we didn't tell you to go sell the land. You did that on your own. Nobody forced you. Nobody commanded you. It was your choice. You didn't have to sell the land. And then once you sold it, Ananias, you didn't have to bring it here. You didn't have to bring all of it. You didn't have to bring a portion of it. Ananias, it's not about what you brought. It's about what you claimed. You claimed to bring it all, and you didn't. Ananias didn't say a word. And all of a sudden, he went, and fell over dead. Now, in your Bibles, it will say, breathe his last. Some of your translations may say expire. But it literally means, it's a word, exuko, that's only used one time in the Bible, and it's in this chapter, never used anywhere else. It's an odd word to die. It's a word that literally means your breath goes, and he died. No chance to repent. Just dead. The crowd is quiet. Peter probably looked at him, and I've had people before say, Pastor, why did Peter do such an awful thing to that man? Peter just exposed the sin. God was the one that brought the judgment. Amen. Laying there, I can see Peter step back and, all right, a couple of you boys, come get him. Got any big old boys here? Come on. And they come and picked him up and wrapped him, Luke writes, took him out to a cave to bury him. They didn't bury him in the ground. Ground over there is way too hard. It's rocky. There are rocks everywhere. So they buried in caves. And they buried quickly for a couple of reasons. First of all, because they didn't embalm. And the heat, very, very hot in the Middle East. And so you kind of had to bury quickly because the body decayed quickly. But second of all, another reason that you buried very quickly was because it gave you less opportunity to touch a dead body and be ceremonially unclean for going to worship. So they buried very quickly. So they wrapped him up, hauled him out, and buried him in a cave. Well, the early church judged hypocrisy very quickly, didn't they? You couldn't say of this church, well, it's full of hypocrites. Oh, they got rid of them. They didn't have them. Aren't you glad that God doesn't judge sins immediately like that today? Man, we'd have the funeral home hopping, wouldn't we? I mean, he did then, though. Dr. Horton, about this passage, says, once the love of money enters a person's heart, there is no evil they wouldn't do. Verse 7 tells us about the span of about 3 hours after this happened. Ananias' wife, Sapphira, she'd been out, maybe looking for her husband, but we don't know. She's out, and she comes back after 3 hours to the church, and Peter sees her. Sapphira, come here. Yes, Peter, what is it? Let me get something straight. You and Ananias had a piece of land, right? She didn't know what had happened. Yes, we did. And you sold it, correctly? Yes, we sure did. And you sold it for an X amount, right? Yes. And you brought that full amount, as you said you did, and laid it at our feet, right? Yes. Well, Sapphira, why did you and Ananias go together to test the Spirit of God? You lied. And you didn't lie to me. You didn't lie to John. You didn't lie to the church. You lied to God. Sapphira, you see those two boys just there at the door right there about to walk in? Uh-huh. Look at their feet. See how dirty they are? Yeah. You know where they've been? No. Cemetery. They just got through burying your husband. Now they're going to bury you. And she went, oh! And died. Exact same word. Exuko. Breathed their last. Didn't say a word. Gone. Step back. Come on, boys. The two guys walked in. And, man, they're dropping like flies around here. Wrapped her up and carried her out and buried her. And the Bible said great fear fell upon the whole church. I can imagine Peter saying, anybody else got anything you want to get off your chest while we're at it? Great fear, Luke said, fell upon the church. And for the very first time in the book of Acts, the word church is used right here. Never was used before. Assembly was used. Multitude was used. Group was used. But now, after they judged hypocrisy in their midst and allowed God to once again have free reign, now you're a church. The called out ones, the ecclesia of God here for the first time. You know, Ananias and Sapphira were liars and thieves and hypocrites, but I don't think they set out to be that. I don't think they set out to really wanting the praise and the credit and the image of being this godly, generous couple. But it happens. It's easy to do in church, folks. It's easy to be here week after week, and next thing you know, you're here for 10 years and 15 years and 20 years and be raised in church. It's so easy to do that. And all of a sudden, you're still sitting out there like you have for all these years, but on the inside, you're not quite what you used to be. Something's happened. At one time, there was a vitality there and a love for God. Now it's not quite what it used to be. And it's so easy to happen. You don't set out to be that way. It just happens. But to remain like that is your choice. And God didn't take it lightly. You might remember something similar happened in Joshua chapter 7. Do you remember the story as the people of the Israelites, they're going into the land in chapter 7 of Joshua, and they captured Jericho, and now they're actually officially in the land, and God told them, do not take any of the spoils of Jericho. You can take others later, not here, not now. And a man by the name of Achan said, that's beautiful. Mantle of Shinar, I like that. And some gold and some silver, and nobody, I know what if I take some. Gathered some up, and he went and buried it in his tent. And all the people suffered at Ai, they suffered defeat. And they're going, Lord, what happened? And God's saying, you have sin in the camp. You got to get rid of it. And once you get rid of it, I'll be back among you again. And they found out who it was. It was Achan, and they stoned him at the Valley of Achor. And F.F. Bruce said, what you have here, Joshua 7 and Acts chapter 5, you have the same thing. God is moving. And somebody stopped it. And God was moving and a couple stopped it. So he got rid of them. God's moving here at First Baptist Garland. There's some good things happening. But make sure you're not one of those out there looking good on the outside. Something's wrong on the inside. Deceit and fraud were hypocrisy, very grave sins in the early church. In fact, there are some documents that have been discovered at Qumran, and it talks about that. Jesus spoke very harshly against hypocrisy. And it requires honesty and integrity on the inside. And so now here in this early church, you have two attempts by the devil to stop the work. One from the outside, didn't work. One from the inside, didn't work. And we're going to see next week God's power got even greater among that group. Because now they were right with God inside and out. One more thought. If you travel to the Aegean Sea and visit the little small island, some of you have done that. We've been there retracing Paul's missionary journeys. Little island of Kos, K-O-S. There is a tourist attraction there that's popular with everybody that visits the island. You have to have your picture made there. It's a large old tree. It's a plane tree. And it's under this tree that the Greek physician, 2,400 years ago, Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, taught his students, 400 B.C. Now, the tree that's there today is not probably the original tree, but it is a descendant of that tree, the original, and it's in the same location, and it's huge, and it's 40 foot in diameter, and it looks so impressive. I think we have a picture of it, of the tree. There it is. It has a little monument in front of it, and it's held up by scaffolding. You'll see now, too. Of course, you get so old, all of us are held up by scaffolding. But it's a beautiful, massive tree, but there's something unique about it. As impressive as it is on the outside, it's hollow on the inside. And they can't figure out why. The National Institute of Health has studied it. And in fact, a man by the name of Albert Lynn Mueller has studied decades. Why is this phenomenon? Why is it happening? It's beautiful on the outside. It's thriving on the outside. And on the inside, there's nothing. And they have all these theories. In fact, it's called the Champion Tree Project. Look it up. And they wonder, what is it? They might possibly wood-eating insects or fungi or bugs or environmental factors. But something has caused this tree on the inside to be hollow. There's a beautiful picture there. Beware, like Ananias and Sapphira, of looking impressive on the outside and hollow on the inside. May that not be you. God, thank you for this passage today and what it teaches us. Lord, it's sobering. It's sobering that you didn't just slap their hands and say, you need to change, Ananias and Sapphira. Lord, you were doing such a powerful work, you actually took them out so your work could continue. Lord, it's my prayer today that those in our congregation that have never received Jesus as Savior, that today they will do that, and they will truly be on the inside who you've made them to be. And Father, I want to pray for believers, some raised in this church since kids, and they're still here, and they're still faithful. But Lord, they're not quite inwardly what they used to be. The fire's gone. The disciplines are gone. And Lord, I'm thankful they're here, but would you help us, Father, to be people of integrity from inside out first? So, Father, if there's anything that needs to be made right today, I pray that you give us the courage to make it right. In Jesus' name I pray.